Sahana Vavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Sahavirayam Karavavahai, Tejasvinavadhitamastu Mavidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay, page 103. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead offers a devotee material happiness, this is not his real favor. The demigods, who are very puffed up by their material opulence, pray to the Lord only for material happiness, not knowing anything better. Right, but they're devotees because they go to the Lord, right? That's what makes their position. They're going to the Lord, that's what makes them different. The demons don't. They just follow the rituals, they did the ritual, therefore they deserve it.
So that's the principle.
That's,
you go to
that's
the Lord, it. You don't go to the Lord. Then going to the Lord, there are different.
Yes, then qualities. Within going to the Lord, there's different. And then within the not going to the Lord, there's different. So here, on the subterranean heaven planets, they're going to the Lord because they're pious. But they're not God-conscious. Right? Or even if they are conscious of God, it's not favorable. Like Hiranyakashipu is quite God conscious, but it was not favorable. Right? So we don't count it.
Right.
Yes.
Then what would be the difference between those who are in the upper heavenly planets and those heavenly planets going to the Lord?
Because they're going to the Lord. So that they're acknowledging everything comes from the Lord.
Subterranean, they also go to the Lord.
No, they just follow the ritual. So they'll follow the laws of the universe. You know, it's just like even atheists, you talk about the supreme and laws of the universe and like this and that, they don't have a problem. It just shouldn't be a person. That's all. You know.
Okay. Subterranean heavenly planets, that's the Asuras.
That's the Asuras.
They're following the laws, but they're not counted as devotees because they're not going to the
No.
Laws.
No, because they're pious in that way, but they're not. But they're not.
They're exploiting
it. Yeah, but because they're exploiting it, they're not called pious. So on the devotional platform, if you're a devotee, that's pious. You're not a devotee, it's impious.
Even right? though from an external point of view, looking at it, it looks pious.
It looks, yes. So that's why the demigods are pious and the demons are not pious. But we take it that they're not pious, therefore they don't follow anything properly. Yes. But they also follow everything properly. Just that they only do it for the material benefit. That's all.
So that's an important point, actually, because
yes.
our way of seeing pious and impious.
It's a big thing. That's why in 11th canto, that's what it makes.
Yeah.
Is that if it's connected to the Lord, it's pious. It's not connected to the Lord, it's impious, no matter what it is. Because purpose of piety is to connect to the Lord. So in other words, Varnashram is for connecting to the Lord. It's the social system to connect to the Lord. Now, because along with performing the devotional service, the material benefit comes, therefore the demons are interested in Varnashram because it gets them the material benefit. They're not interested in the devotional part. So that's why the pure devotee, they serve Krishna, they get their facility. The mixed devotee serves Krishna, gets their facility. And the demon, they follow the rules, but it's not for Krishna, and then they just get their material benefits. Right? Does that make sense? So, in other words, let us say I have, a kitchen, and I have a pot, and there's water in it, and there's potatoes in the water. Now, you're a pure devotee, you leave them boiling that water for 20 minutes, what do you get?
Boiled potatoes.
Okay, let's say the mixed devotee is doing it. You know, and he's just doing it for Krishna. Mixed devotee is doing it to please Krishna, but he likes the potatoes and this and that. So, after 20 minutes of boiling, what's he going to get? Okay, now you have this completely completely disgusting, gross, you know, sense gratifier, hedonistic guy, and he leaves them on the pot for 20 minutes in boiling water, what does he get?
Nothing.
He gets nothing, okay. So they get potatoes, they get burnt potatoes, they get no potatoes, okay. Yes, okay. Yeah, you understand? This is where the mistake is made. As soon as it's, oh, it's Vedic, then it's okay. Right? Except for Varnashram. Yeah, it means astronomy. Oh, it's Vedic, it's okay. Vastu, it's Vedic, oh, it's okay. You know, Varnashram, that's not okay. Right? You know, so that's the whole pick and choose, right? We're whimsical. So that's the problem. So sometimes it's like devotees will use these as mediums, which is fine to attract people and make it interesting. But the emphasis is on the upper avidya, that secondary knowledge, not on primary. The point is why does the secondary work? We're seeing here the whole cosmology. It works because of God. So that means every Vedic art and science works because of Krishna. We understand that, it works really nicely. So,
yes.
Does that make sense?
So we think that sophisticated and pious are synonymous.
Yes, sophisticated, pious are the same. Yeah, we think that... we don't distinguish, because you're supposed to be pious, but somehow or another piety can't be used in Krishna's service, right? Means we should all be good, we should all be nice, we should all be considerate, you know, equity, fraternity, liberty, but when we're doing devotional service, no, that doesn't apply, we're just practical.
And it should only be from a moral point of view.
Yes, so you understand, that's all the mixes that are there that the Bhagavatam is trying to remove.
Yeah.
Because these are all the variety of Kaitava Dharma and Vidharma and Upadharma and like that.
Yeah.
So we're not distinguishing the difference.
Yeah.
Like we can't tell the difference between compost and something that's rotten.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. One is useful, the other's not. But the principle is the same.
Yeah.
Right? Like that. So that's the thing, is that this regulation, and then regulation is done by the Lord rather than our whims. So these are the fine kind of like things we're trying to understand. They're not difficult, but because we're so used to karma and jnana, we don't know, okay, I do an activity, I get a result. I don't want a result, I don't do an activity. So we're being asked to do an activity without a desire for the result. This is new. This is, we haven't come across this before. Right? Because even you say, okay, it doesn't sound so strange from the platform of Gyan, because you're acting without a desire for the results, but what do you want from acting without a desire? You want liberation. So it's just a subtler form of karma. Right? Does that make sense? That's all. But, yes.
Some people using karma for karma, and some people using jnana, but still for karma.
Yes, but we're using karma and jnana for bhakti.
Yeah.
That's where it becomes confusing, to be able to distinguish the subtleties that are there. So how do we tell if it's devotional or not?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the thing, is to be able to tell that difference, that's the problem. So that's why then we come through it more and more subtly. Because it's pointing, it's like Manu. He points out that if the animals are killed in sacrifice, you know, according to the rules and regulations, it's not sin. Right? They want to make it very clear. There's a difference between sin and piety. But the point is, he says, but it doesn't mean that there's not a reaction. You do a pious thing, there's still a reaction. So, you've killed the animal in sacrifice. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to take birth and go through so many lifetimes as an animal. You just have to take one birth. Well, you'll be the animal killed in the sacrifice. So, there's a reaction.
Yeah.
But there's no sin. Right? That's the difficulty that we're trying to be gained here, is to be able to see what's the difference. Because... So reaction is there. So we're performing the activity for pleasing Krishna. That doesn't mean there's not a reaction. Therefore, the material facilities are generated. Right? That's the whole point. But we think, no, to generate them, I have to do it. In other words, I have money because I did it. No, I have money because I serve Krishna, and Krishna is being pleased, Lakshmi is pleased, I have money. So they say, oh, that means you don't have to do anything. He says, no, you have to do your duty. So your duty is the occupation, in this case, the occupation. The occupation then is the mechanics by which material nature transforms and generates opulence. But why does it work? Because the Lord sanctions. The Lord is pleased. Because one man works, another man works. One man gets so much money, the other man doesn't get so much. So why is that? Because it's a matter of how much you're pleasing the Lord. Yeah. But it's a matter of can we please now. We do that, it works. Mm. Yes.
Sometimes people, they use this religious, like chanting japa or waking up early in the morning to be powerful, but it's not for Krishna.
It means that they'll get powerful, but then the problem is they will have problems with that power. They'll have the power and so much difficulties, and everybody else will be disturbed. Just like Hiranyakashipu stood on his toes in the Talasan. You know, that means you stand on your tippy toes and put your hands up like this with your fingers apart, like a tall tree. Not easy, right? And so he becomes powerful. But the point is everybody gets disturbed and he gets problems from it. Does that make sense? Yeah, so like that, then these things go on. So you can do it. That's why you don't do something for renunciation of that. The good qualities are what we're using in Krishna's service. They're naturally, just like physically you use skills. Then on the subtle platform we use intelligence, we use appropriate identity, we use all these various emotions. Right? So they're for all appropriate, that's what we call piety. But that's the only thing, is they're only for that. So that's the problem. Equity, fraternity, liberty is not devotional. That are good qualities to use in Krishna's service. Right? Just like using proper logical intelligence is good. We're using appropriate identity for the situation we're in. You know, are we in charge? Are we following? Are we assisting? Are we, you know, equals in something and cooperating? What are we doing? To know the identity, that's pious. You know what I'm saying? Like we were discussing this morning. Nouveau riche. Their identity is not in line with their position. So therefore, the good qualities don't come out, people don't appreciate. Right? They think themselves bigger than they are. You know, they may be big, but then so many people are big and then they're gone. So it's like, let's see if you're still big. You know, because the other people in the room, you know, standing around with the cocktail glasses, some of them, you know, been, you know, for some time, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, 100 years, some of them, depending on what party you're at, 400 years. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing, is that does it last? You know, it's just like in anything. You know, it's like in Hollywood. The guy comes up, does one thing, becomes a big sensation. And then after that, it's a bomb. Nothing works ever again. Or music. They do something really big, and they're the big thing and all that, and then they disappear. Does that make sense? You know, so you always have that. So it's a matter of the actual prop. What's the appropriate? That's what piety. Piety simply means is according to God's laws. So if I follow God's laws, that's pious. We take it, no, if I'm just nice and good. But why would nice and good be pious? We're defining pious. You know, it's just like that one pope, I think he had like 26 concubines. And when he became the pope, then it was found out and he admitted and everything like that, and they were so impressed with how open he was that then he got the name Pious. You know, so. You know, like that.
You
got
the next.
Yes,
like that. You know, so. Is that, yeah. Yes. Jarasandha was also worshipping Vishnu, the Shaligrams, worshipping the Brahmins, doing everything. Quite easy. Yes, wow, look at me. Who do they think they are, like dressed like that and all that? You know, this is a temple, you know, shouldn't they? Yeah. like that. So it's pretty common. Otherwise, why do we have to emphasize remembering Krishna?
Yes.
Like, you know, with the girls, do we have to emphasize, you know, remembering the nice, good-looking boy? No, that you don't have to worry about that. But, you know. So, there's another spiritual platform, then we always have to remember that, no, you're supposed to remember the good-looking boy.
Yes.
You know, the one with the flute and, you know, like that. You know, not the, you know, the guy with the blonde hair and the bun. We're talking about the guy with the black curly hair, that one.
And only one.
Huh?
Only one.
Yeah, there's only one of those, right? Yeah. Yeah.
No, it seems that he's in even the planet or this elite planet. It means people don't have so much free will.
No, it just means that it's a nicer place to exercise. It's just like if you go on vacation, do you have free will? You want to go down to the beach or not? You want to lay on the beach or not? You know, you want to stay in the hotel? You want to, you know, how you say, swim in the pool and look at the beach? You know, or you have the free will.
But not the free will to choose Krishna.
That's the soul. Anytime you have that, it has nothing to do with the piety. The soul can at any time choose Krishna. That's why you see Prahlad Maharaj was successful. He's there with demon kids, but they're all chanting Hare Krishna.
But it's rare.
It's rare, but that's because that's what they wanted. You know, it's like, let's say you go to Ibiza, right? You can't complain that we're not at the Riviera, because, you know, you picked Ibiza. You know, you want to hear French? Go to the Riviera. You want to hear Spanish? You go to Ibiza. Right? Is that what you're saying? So, you've chosen. But within that, then it's there. It's up to you. But the point is, the demons are there because they're not interested in Krishna. So Krishna just comes to them as time and kills them. As I said, it's time I am, you know, the destroyer of all men. Because here we just take it as, okay, time came, but there actually time comes, you know, and kills you. You know, it's like here, there's suddenly a flying grandfather clock comes in. You know, the guy says, oops, open the door. You know. Broken a few glasses that way. Automatic detectors, you know, at the old age home, you know, they got the things, the infrared, so when the grandfather clock is flying, the door's just open and that, you know, and everybody. You know. Yeah. Okay. Well, yes. Okay. Devotees like Prahlad Maharaj, however, do not want any material happiness. Not to speak of material happiness, they do not even want liberation from material bondage, right? Did you catch this morning how that question was about liberation in the morning? They're talking about going back to Godhead, but the question was about liberation, right? Because it's like, no, but they're pure devotees. Why aren't they going back to Godhead? Why are they staying here? Because that's an anxiety. If I become pure devotee, will I get stuck here?
Yeah.
I want to get out of here, so.
Yeah.
That's the whole point. So if you're on the transcendental platform, you're in Krishna's cosmos. It doesn't matter where you are. Right? It's just that this is not the greatest area. You know, it's like a poor area of the kingdom. You know? Like that. Does that make sense? Yes.
When you say to go back to Godhead means to go back to spiritual mentality.
The main thing is spiritual mentality. We actually mean physically you'll go back to the spiritual world. But the point is it's not about being in the spiritual world. It's about serving Krishna. And that's the best facility. Those who are fully committed to Krishna, then they could interact with Krishna without disappointing him or the devotees.
Yes.
Right? Because one, you know, we're there, we're very fired up, really absorbed, and it was really great and all that, and then the next day we're thinking about something else. So it's not consistent. You know, it's just like, let's say you have a friend, and then one day they're so enthusiastic, and the next day they're not even paying any attention. It's not nice. So that's why then material energy arranges that you'll be put into that situation on the spiritual platform when you're consistent. That's why we always talk about stability. That's why nishtha is the symptom of that advancement. Right? Does that make sense? And it's also that's also being given as Trinada Pisuniche. Now, the third verse represents Nishta. Like, how are we steady? Because we're, and so therefore that the quality of tolerance and humility and respect come in, and we're always stable and chanting. So they go together. So that's what we're trying to get is, you know, not that there's this peak and then this goes down, but at least if there's a peak, that means you'll want to do it again.
Yes.
Right? And if you're disturbed by when it goes down and don't like that, you'll want to not like it again. Right? Because whatever you do, then there'll be the desire to do it again. You understand?
Yes.
So that's the point. That's the seeds. So then if the situation's proper, the seed, you know, sprouts. Right? So you act on the seed, it sprouts. And then it grows and you get your reaction. So the seed is there. And so if we don't work on it, we work on devotional service, the seed gets roasted. So it won't sprout. Right? But if we take it, then it'll produce another seed that will want to do it again. So this idea, oh, I'll just one more time, then that's it. No, it's not by doing it that'll be it. No, because there'll be one more seed.
Yeah.
It's by the mentality, I don't want to do this again. That's what's going to get you to not do it again. You understand? You have to know which it is that's actually working. You know what I'm saying? The point is one is doing something enough on regulation that one understands that it doesn't actually get what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because in the beginning one's enamored, then after a while you can start to see it in the mixed form, then after a while you see it for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's a matter of habit.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But then one can see, so if one cultivates not doing it again, trying not to do it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Does that make sense? Then it will come. Right? Does that make sense? That's the whole point.
Okay. Not to speak of material happiness, they do not even want liberation from material bondage. Although one can achieve this liberation simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord, even with improper pronunciation.
So that's the point. With devotion, then it still works. Because it's the devotion that's the chit potency. Now, for the material benefit, that's going to be going by how expert you are chanting something or doing something, the skill itself. So the ritual, how well you perform the ritual, that will get you your result, right? Based on, you know, what you've done,
mm-hmm.
right? So for the mixed devotional service, then according to the quality of your endeavor, that's the quality of result you get. But when it's being done to please Krishna, then you can get a result beyond the quality of what you do. Does that make sense? Yes. Very exact. That's why Karmakanda is so exacting. You do it all, it works. Like, it's based on devotion. Like for us, we're complaining, oh, so ritualistic what we're doing. Nothing is there compared to what is ritualistic. It means we don't even know what ritualistic is. Is you want to have the yajna, then you have to have dirt from two sides of a river and from two mountain peaks.
Mm.
You know, so that means, one, you have to go to both sides. One, you have to go down to the river in the first place, and you have to get to the other side. So it doesn't mean the side here and the side there. It means this side and that side.
Yes.
You know, so that means you'd have to go down here, collect it very nicely, taking your bath and collect it. Take a boat across the same side, you know, over there, off of your basins, collect it there, get back in your boat, come back over here. Now you have two sides of a river. Now what about your two mountains? You know, around here, not a lot of mountains. That's why it's probably called Radha Desh, where they don't do all this stuff, because there's no mountains. You know what I'm saying? And that's just a whole bunch. And then in that, then you're going to plate that out nicely, make it fine and all that, and then you're going to plant your seeds. Right, 9 days before, then you're going to see how the seeds grow. And then you can get an idea how well the yajna is going. And that's just ankurapana, just growing the seeds. You know what I'm saying? Karmakanda yajna, and actually you have to make the bricks. The priest and his wife make the bricks. You know, and they weren't small kuns, so that's a lot of bricks. You know, so they hand make them, you know, and dry them in the sun. So So it's not just you order up and tell the contractor to drop a bunch of bricks. You actually have to make them, you know. So that means you can't make them in rainy season, you know. You understand? So it's very limited. When you do, you have to start at a proper, you know, auspicious time, and then go, and then the first bricks, then you're going to lay and build the first foundation like that during the proper auspicious time, and you make more bricks in the next auspicious time like that. It takes you 9 months to build just the kunda. This is ritual. You understand?
9 months, we can go back to the
car. Yeah, that's the whole point. Yeah, that's the whole point. That's why we've been saved. So what Prabhupada's given us, that's just simple. And then we go, oh, this is so ritualistic, this is so fanatic. No, this is just, yeah. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, Chaturmas, there's 44 main rules and about 15-20 secondary rules that are there. So it's like 60 rules. All we have to do is follow four. Even that is a whole big trip.
Yes.
You know? Yeah, so like that. Ekadasi, you know, it starts, if tomorrow's Ekadasi, from today, noontime's your last meal, you don't eat at night. Because when you eat, the digestion's running, and so then in the morning, when it finishes, you'll get really hungry. So you only eat now, you don't eat at night. Then in the morning, then you start the fasting. Then you stay up the whole night. Then the next morning you break the fast, but only to break the fast. It's like one grain in that. You don't eat it, 5:30 in the morning. Like that. And you don't sleep until the sun set. Right? And so then you break the full proper meals at noon. And you don't sleep until sunset. Right? So it actually covers 48 hours. A full Ekadasi. Right? Does that make sense? And then you just drink water, or need fruits, roots, milk, and then you come back from there. You know, so that we're just, we're suffering so much, with the the Radhamadava Atta that we made our pizza out of, on Ekadasi. It's really tough. Really, really tough. Yeah, it's really serious aesthetic. Right? Yeah. Yes.
Well, because we're not karmakandis, sometimes it's difficult to trace, the results of our activities, because we just perform, devotional service and regular sadhana.
Yes.
And then something happens, sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. So there's a confusion among the devotees. Why is it happens, or why is it happening to me, and
why it's not happening to him?
Well, yeah.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, that's because we don't look at it. Karma is not something we really study, because karma means you have to study the laws.
We're not worried about it.
We're not worried about it, because Prabhupada mentions leadership should study the laws, mm-hmm. And if leadership knows the laws, then when the other devotees have questions, then they can answer. Uh-huh. But we have to see these laws in connection with devotional service. That's why then we're seeing so many of discussions of Manus themselves, and see how they're Krishna conscious, and it's all about things like that. So they follow it all, but for Krishna consciousness. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, generally devotees think Manu laws, oh, that's not devotional. Mm-hmm. It's only meant for devotional. Mm-hmm. It'll work for the karmis also, because they're in God's creation. They should follow God's laws. But it's actually meant for the devotees. So the Vedic literatures are meant for the devotees. Non-devotees can also use them to advantage, because then if they're using, they don't, generally don't disturb the devotees.
Right. Could you say that about conservatives also? You're using the asuras that they're worshipping deities for their own gain?
Whether they're using Pancharatna or whether... Yes, means it would be. The mode of passion is there. Or they could also be using Vaikanas and these Tantra and these other systems. But point is they're worshipping the deities. They may... Generally, they have to worship Vishnu. You want to worship a demigod, you have to worship the Vishnu Shaligram. And then the remnants of that goes to the demigod. They don't necessarily catch it. He's the supreme, they're there. They just know that that's the method to worship the demigod. They want the benefit, this is what they do. Right? Soma worship more because he's the, he of all the deities, he's the supreme, he's the creator, maintainer, destroyer. So therefore, worship him, you're good. But it is like that. It's only mode of passion. So they don't really see the deity as a person. Below Sutala is the planet Talatala, the abode of the demon Maya. This demon is always materially happy because he is favored by Lord Shiva, but he cannot achieve spiritual happiness at any time. Below Talatala is Mahatala, where there are many snakes with hundreds and thousands of hoods. Below Mahatala is Rasatala, and below that is Patala, where the serpent Vasuki lives with his associates. Yeah, it seemed to be they were on. Those bottom two seemed to be pretty much for them, and the top one seemed right. No, the top one was below Atala, Vitala, then below that is Sutala. Okay. Talatala, Mahatala, Matala. It just doesn't mention that Mahatala is snakes. It just says Mahatala and...
Mahatala is the snakes. Rasatala
doesn't say. Rasatala doesn't say, and Patala. Vasuki.
Patala is the snakes.
Seems to be. Shloka Anusharanam, some of your verses. Verses 1 to 15, overview of the subterranean heavenly planets, 16 to 31, details of the subterranean heavenly planets. Verses 1 to 15, overview of the subterranean heavenly planets. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, "My dear king, some historians, the speakers of the Puranas, say that 10,000 yojanas, 80,000 miles below the sun, is a planet known as Rahu, which moves like one of the stars. The presiding deity of that planet, who is the son of Simhika, is the most abominable of all asuras. But although he is completely unfit to assume the position of a demigod or planetary deity, he has achieved that position by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Later I shall speak further about him." So he's personally unqualified, but by the Lord's grace, he's in that position, right? So you see, by the favoring of the devotees and the Lord, then someone like Ghatotkacha is very much part of the Krishna scene, even though he's a rakshasa, right? It's like that. So sometimes you see is that they're favorable, they help and all this and that. They may be God conscious, they may not be, but at least they're favorable to the devotees and somehow or another, some way, even though personally they may not be that qualified.
Krishna just likes to mix it up a little bit.
I know, there's something there. There has something, to be something, yeah. Because the point is ultimately it's about the person. You know? It's just like you had, what was his name? Doctor, speaking of, you know, Patala, that Dr. Patel. Right? He was like a hardcore Mayavadi. At least how he talked, whether he was in that. But he really liked Prabhupada. So then he would come every, because he was a sophisticated gentleman, you know, educated and like this. So he would come and walk with Prabhupada on the beach every day in Bombay. And he'd just argue like anything. The Mayavad philosophy and Prabhupada would argue back. So one day really upset Prabhupada. He was really, you know, speaking very strongly in all this. So the devotees, you know, like the associates of Richard II, they thought, okay, we got to get rid of this guy. Right? And so then they just banned him from coming to see Prabhupada. Prabhupada was so upset. Right? You know, that's their relationship. But the point is it's about the relationship. So for the men, it was being with Prabhupada. And then he likes to argue philosophy, so he's doing that with Prabhupada.
Best guys to be doing that.
Right? Yeah, but the point is it was because he had that personal relationship. Yeah. So you see that in some devotees, is that they had a real, real good relationship with Prabhupada. And that was their glory. I think it had a godbrother, maybe Rohini Kumar or something Kumar. He was in and out of sannyas so many times and all kinds of crazy stuff. But he really liked being with Prabhupada, and Prabhupada would always keep him around. And so he'd do very well. And then when, you know, he's doing nicely situated, he goes back to something else, then all it goes crazy. So you see that there's people like that. They just like the person. So that's what then you cultivate, is that personal. And then from there, it'll get purified and everything else will go away. Yes, that the yogi Misra, whatever. Yeah. Same kind of thing. He liked Prabhupada, but he was wary of the Vaishnava philosophy, because if that's there, then what's his standing? Right? And so then, you know, personally, they get along really well.
You could do bhajan sometimes, but preferably not speak philosophy.
Yes, yes.
He knew he would get
there. Yeah, prashad and bhajan. So that works for everybody. So that's the point. It works for the gross materialists, it works for the mayavadis. So that's why we emphasize these things so much.
Okay. But although he is completely unfit to assume the position of a demigod or planetary deity, he has achieved that position by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Later I shall speak further about him. The sun glow, which is a source of heat, extends for 10,000 yojanas, 80,000 miles. The moon extends for 20,000 yojanas, 160,000 miles. And Rahu extends for 30,000 yojanas, 240,000 miles, right? Because you see, when the shadow comes on the sun or the moon, you see it's quite a very shallow arc compared to them. So you can see Rahu is much bigger, or his influence is much bigger than theirs. It's not that he's the same, you know, now they say he's just the same size, but it's actually he's bigger when you see it come. Then sometimes it has, depending upon how he moves, it says crooked or straight, then you get a full eclipse or not. You know, so the sun, it has the rays about, but the planet, he's actually... Mm-hmm. The moon just always disappears. You never have, what do you call it? The ring eclipse on the moon?
Yeah.
Annular. Okay. You don't have that. Okay. Formerly, when nectar was being distributed, Rahu tried to create dissension between the sun and the moon by interposing himself between them. Rahu is inimical towards both the sun and the moon, and therefore he always tries to cover the sunshine and moon side on the dark moon day and full moon night. In his 1-2, in his commentary to verse 2, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Parvani means the full moon and dark moon. Yeah, because the parvanas are like, those are times when certain vratas are there. How do you say? Depending on the certain days that are avoided for things, depending on what it is, like Monday, Wednesday sometimes for like study, and like Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday for, what do you call it, shaving and those kind of things like that, or different things like that. So astamis are avoided on certain things, parvanas, then full moon, new moon. So these are certain days. So these are the days that he bothers on those days. On these days, it, Rahu planet, creates an obstacle to the full moon and dark moon for those looking from the earth. Right? Somewhere else it's not, but from here. It created an obstacle previously by coming between the sun and the moon to drink nectar. He created enmity with them when they understood what he was doing. Right? So it's interesting how when he's there in the past time, when he's sitting between, then he's referred to as he. And when he's attacking the sun and moon and creating obstacles, he's an it, because he's just a head. So is it a he or what? What's a,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Apart from this description of the he, is that the Rahu planet is actually between the earth and the sun. It's not above the sun.
No. That was in the past time when he was going for the nectar, he sat between the sun and the moon.
Oh, okay.
And created dissension there because he was trying to do that, and they got upset, and then, you know, there was that whole rivalry. And because he got his head cut off, therefore, he always tries to create obstacles for them. That's the...
But geographically, he isn't there. He's not above
the sun. No, he's below. He's just 10,000 yojanas below. So it's almost 90% there, you know.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it may heal some things, but not others. I mean, like in Chinese medicine, I saw one restaurant that had a list of all the five kinds of onions. You have, you know, onions, you have garlic, then you have leeks, then spring onions, and then there's one, and the chives, right? So it's big onions, then you have the medium ones with a long stem, then the smaller ones with a long stem, the really dinky ones with a long stem, and then garlic. And it gave, from each one of them, what part of your brain and intelligence it destroys.
Yes.
So as a restaurant, they just don't use it. I think it's a Buddhist restaurant or something like that. So they just don't. So they just, they point out that what it's bad for.
Just so nobody complains about it.
Yeah, I mean, at least before it was a big thing on the wall. So, you know, hey, well, God, you know, what is it? Yeah, so
you point at the wall. Like
that. Yeah.
Another poster on the wall. Okay. Sukadeva Goswami continued, after hearing from the sun and moon demigods about Rahu's attack, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, engages his disc, known as the Sudarshan Chakra, to protect them. The Sudarshan Chakra is the Lord's most beloved devotee and is favored by the Lord. The intense heat of its effulgence, meant for killing non-Vaishnavas, is unbearable to Rahu, and he therefore flees in fear of it. During the time Rahu disturbs the sun or moon, there occurs what people commonly know as an eclipse. Right? So whenever he attacks them, then Sudarshan comes and chases him away. Right? Because he knows Sudarshan, because that's how he's in the position he's in. Right, yeah.
But he's never killed after that
time. Sorry?
He's never killed.
Because he had drunk nectar but hadn't swallowed yet and cut off his head, therefore his head doesn't die. Right? The body is not considered overly active, but whatever, there's a connection there. So then they're always opposite each other. Wherever one's in the chart, the other will be exact opposite. Mm-hmm. You know, somehow. You know, fun.
So Ket is not as dangerous as Rahu.
Not as much from what I can see. Depends probably how it's situated. But Ketu is very good for not actually being so inspired to be materially absorbed. That's an advantage of Ketu. While Rahu is a tendency to... See, Rahu, the basic principle is you're looking for nectar. Now, whether you're looking for it on the material platform or the spiritual... Right, that's the point. That's one devotee astrologer. He was telling me that a lot of devotees join during the Rahu period because they're looking for something serious, and then they can't find it in the material. But then they come in contact with the devotees, and then they appreciate it. So that's the aspect that's of value. So in other words, if it's used in Krishna consciousness, that looking for nectar, then it's good. But the Ketu is more of a non-interest in material.
One devotee used to be temple commander in Lima, Peru. They had an astrologer check all charts of all that were kind of affiliated with the temple on a service basis. 300 devotees, 80% were in the Rahu period in the zone.
Okay.
So
that's
significant.
Yeah, yeah. Because that's generally you're looking. Because the other times, you know, you're on Sun, you think you're doing fabulous.
Doing all right.
You know, Jupiter, yeah, I'm the big man here, you know, so. Yeah. So, you know, like the different Venus, then you're having a good time, so hey, you know, so. That's why it's good. You can join anywhere, but it's a natural position.
It's a good feature.
Yeah. I don't think he necessarily means it that way, but that's the point. Yeah. The Lord has given some blessing that he has a position, even though he's not. So like that. So if he's saying 80% of devotees join at that time, then that's his service. Though most likely that's not his plan, but it's the way it works. Yes. We'll leave that for later.
Okay.
Srila Prabhupada comments, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, is always the protector of his devotees, who are also known as demigods. The controlling demigods are most obedient to Lord Vishnu, although they also want material sense enjoyment. That is why they are called demigods, or almost godly.
because they're not actually. So that's why he says the devotees technically are beyond the demigods, because they're fully saintly. But here, they're devotees of the Lord. They follow very nicely. They don't have a problem with that. Just they want to enjoy themselves, right? So demigods have facility, right? They serve the Lord very nicely, but they want to enjoy. So now if someone wants to enjoy, not follow nicely, right? Like, guys now sometimes talk about, you know, the communities and stuff like that. They don't follow nicely. That, how will they get anything? Because at least you have to follow duties. Artha comes from Dharma. So they follow Dharma to please the Lord, but they also want the benefit from it. So that's mixed. So it's not that it's more devotional to not turn to Krishna for a material benefit and just get it on your own. Sometimes it's thought like that. You know, just like you have the idea, the more I hate my service, the better it is devotionally. You know, the more I'm suffering, you know, like that, you know, like Chinese medicine, the worse it tastes, it must be better for you, you know, like that. So there's also the ideas that since going to Krishna, you know, for material things is not pure devotional service, so I won't go to Krishna, I'll just go and get it myself. But that's actually technically a mix that you're using devotional and asuric methods. So devotionally, devotional service, I'm using the devotional the daiva method. But in non-devotional, for material, I'm using the asuric method. So these kind of things need to be cleared. The point is there's only Krishna, so everything should be done in connection with Him. Although Rahu attempts to attack both the sun and moon, they are protected by Lord Vishnu. Being very afraid of Lord Vishnu's chakra, Rahu cannot stay in front of the sun or moon for more than a muhurta, 48 minutes. The phenomena that occurs when Rahu blocks the light of the sun or moon is called an eclipse. The attempt of the scientists of this earth to go to the moon is as demoniac as Rahu's attack. Right? Because what are they going to do there? They're just going to go there and bring back a rock, you know, like that, and then say, this rock costs the taxpayers $1 billion. Yeah, okay. Of course, their attempts will be failures because no one can enter the moon or sun so easily. Like the attack of Rahu, such attempts will certainly be failures. So, yes?
We notice that many times Rahu covers the moon and then he covers the sun, or the other way around, and it happens, you know, within like a month or 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
So is this like a normal procedure?
I guess, yeah. It's just that if you're going after one, you might as well go after the other. You don't like either of them, so. You go after the one, get chased away, so you go after the other, get chased away, and then you got to think about it a bit. You know, so.
Yeah, and then when there is a deep gap, and then it happens
again.
It's almost every year now.
Yeah, it's just more inauspiciousness, so. For fortnight. Okay. You could get every time, so he must be really fired up then. Yeah. You know, just how much, how you say, envy is there that for, you know, such a long time he can keep up the, you know, the attacks.
Steady.
Yeah. Study. Nishta.
Very frustrated.
Persistent.
Persistent, yes.
Always looking for something.
Yeah. Okay. Sukadeva Goswami continued. Below Rahu by 10,000 yojanas, 8,000 miles, are the planets known as Siddhaloka, Charnaloka, Vidyadharaloka. Beneath Vidyadhara, so that means they're at 80,000 yojanas. 80,000 yojanas. Right? So you have the sun, then you have Rahu, then you have the Siddhas, Charnas, and Vidyadharas. Beneath the Vidyadharaloka, Charnaloka, and Siddhaloka in the sky is called Antariksha, are the places of enjoyment for the yakshas, rakshasas, paisachas, ghosts, and so on. Antariksha extends as far as the wind blows and the clouds float in the sky. Right, so then from there up to the Charna, Siddha and Vididharas, then that in between, that's what we'd call antariksha in this capacity. Right? Otherwise, we also called it what was beyond Dhruvaloka, that also the space, just nothing's there really, that's antariksha also. Yes, is into means you're taking from the heavenly planets down to earth, and he's right in the middle. So, like this, so it's used in a few different ways. So, in this context, then when we say antariksha, which we've generally been using it, that's where all the yakshas, rakshasas, paisachas, and everything, that's where they live. That's what we count is that there's earth, there's them, then there's the heavenly planets. Right? So, the charanas, vididharas, and that would be, you know, getting farther up there. But they're kind of still that in-between. Because I think heavenly planets start from the sun up, no? So they're still technically antariksha. But they hang out with the demigods. Now, the ones that are favorable, you also have rakshasas and yakshas and that also associate with the demigods. Right? Because the yakshas generally serve and assist Kuvera. But we see the rakshasas, they also assist with the sun planet in his duties and all that. So, depending upon the individual, then they have different duties. It appears so. It depends. I would expect the ghosts kind of flying around, and everybody else probably has something like that. But it doesn't mean that they don't come down here also. You know, those ones, they hang out. They like to hang out in tops of trees and stuff like that.
Above this, there is no more air. Below the abodes of the yakshas and rakshasas, by a distance of 100 yojanas, is the planet Earth. So they're only 100 yojanas away. 800 miles. What do they generally put as orbit? Orbit? They take something and, you know, Motorola has a bunch of things flying around up there.
It's not.
Oh, okay, so not so far. So then they're above that. Yeah. So as long as they keep it down here, they probably don't bother them. But if they tried to float them up there, they'd probably be harassing them.
Are there ghosts in other planets? What do you mean by other planets? Ghosts are kind of, you become a ghost from here, not from there. So therefore you're attached to here, so generally you hang out here.
Their place is 100 miles, 800 miles away from here. So, yeah, so 1,200 kilometers away. That's where the ghosts and all their planets are. So,
Its upper limits extend as high as swans, hawks, eagles, and similar large birds can fly. My dear king, beneath the earth are seven other planets known as Atala, Vitala, Sutala, Talatala, Mahatala, Rasatala, and Patala. I have already explained the situation of the planetary systems of Earth. The width and length of the seven lower planetary systems is calculated to be exactly the same as those of Earth. 47. In his commentary to verse 7, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, below the earth, in different parts, are the seven lower planets. Bhu-vivara means in hollow cavities of the earth. It refers to Atala and other planets. Antaram means a space or limited or limit according to Amarkosh. Thus, from the earth to a limit of 10,000 yojanas, Atala extends. From Atala, Vitala extends another 10,000 yojanas. Their length and breadth are also 10,000 yojanas. The heights of the places are as much as possible within 10,000 yojanas.
So that means that when it says earth, that means just how much we have, or how much is on Jambu, or is how much is the whole Bhumandala? Yes. So how much are they meaning by earth? Because it says only 10,000 yojanas. So with the bar. Okay. Okay, so that means there are only 10,000. And 10,000 down and 10,000 across. No, it's not bad. That's yojanas, so that's 80,000 miles. It's way bigger than what we see. So we can't complain.
You do anyway.
Yeah, okay.
This seven planets, they are not inside on the beach. They are...
No, they're below.
Below.
Yeah, it means Mount Meru is I think it's 16,000 yojanas. Mm-hmm. Goes down below. But these are all 10,000 yojanas down. So that means Meru doesn't go through all of them. Oh, so it basically just goes through the next one down. Yeah. So that they're also tallest. But they're also called planets, because the point is planet means is where you are in your sphere of influence, right? Your world as such. You know, just like the Vedic literatures, then a body of knowledge is called a book. It's not a specific physical book. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, planet means where you are in, you know what I'm saying? Sukadeva Goswami continued, in these seven planetary systems, which are also known as the subterranean heavens, Bilaswarg, there are many beautiful houses, gardens, and places of sense enjoyment, which are even more opulent than those in the higher planets, because the demons have a very high standard of sensual pleasure. Wealth and influence. Right? So that means that sensual pleasure, wealth they have to have, but also influence, right? So that whole prestige and fame and position and authority, all these kind of things are very much important. So we see when those get too much emphasized, that's the demoniac side. When those are reduced and there's the, what do you call it, the humility, tolerance, respect, that's on the daiva side, right? So that's the thing, is that human means mixed. We have both. So it's a matter of cultivating one and trying to control the other. Right, they're used nicely. In other words, the point is sensual pleasure, wealth, and influence are used in the Lord's service. But the point is, it has to be used in the Lord's service. It can't be a point of prestige and all these kind of things. If it is, that's where it creates the trouble. Yes. Yes, that's all they're interested in. Because depending on where you are in the Varnashram system, that's your influence and all that. Because for most, it's like, what's the whole thing? What do the Brahmins want to establish? Their authority, the Kshatriyas, their authority, the businessmen, their authority. You know, the artist who's older, his authority, or who's been in the business longer, his authority, or he has more Grammys, his authority. Right, you know. So in other words, that's the whole thing, is people use the Varnashram about influence rather than duties. But they follow it nicely, because then they get wealth. And if they have wealth, then sense gratification. So they try to balance these three very nicely. Right? So the bigger they are, the better they are at balancing them. Right? But moksha and bhakti just aren't part of the picture at all. They just don't count. So from here up, then you hear them talk about moksha. Then they don't talk about moksha at all. Right? You know, I mean, sometimes the demons talk about liberating your head from your body, like that. They talk about that aspect of moksha, but not actually as a destination. Right? Yeah.
Most of the residents of these planets, who are known as daityas, danavas, and nagas, live as householders. Right, so daityas, danavas, nagas. So these are the three main groups. So you see, is they're from a higher level. Right, because the daityas are Diti's sons. The danavas are Danu's, you know, children. The nagas then are, what is it, the Garuda's mother's, Garuda's aunt?
Kadru.
Yeah, Kadru. You know, so they're all, you know, they're not ordinary. So they all have extra power. They're extra, you know, they're mystic powers and all these things. They're not like humans.
like that.
They won't be counted in the human category as such. You know, that's us here. Yes.
You mentioned Danu?
Danu.
Danu?
That's one of the wives of Kasyapa.
Oh.
So Aditi, then you get the 12 Adityas. Mm-hmm. Then from Diti you get the Daityas. And then from Danu you get the Danavas.
So they're all the same family.
They're all, yeah, basically they're all same family. Yeah, they're all the same. But from what I've understood, the Daityas are a bit more sophisticated and the Danavas are a little bit more, you know, down home, you know, Payasano kind of, you know, like that. So some of like Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, these are Daityas, more sophisticated. You know, and the rough and ready out there in the forest and come along, just bite your head off, that's the Danavas. But it's not that they don't have very nice arrangements. It's just that they're a little bit, seem to be less refined. Because otherwise, I'm not sure that Vrishaparva. I think he's king of the Danavas. And that's where Sukracharya stays. And so Sukracharya's daughter, and I think Vrishaparva's daughter, is Devayani and what's it? Samishta. Like that. You know, so they end up, so it's probably just in comparison to them. You know, I'm saying like comparing a Ferrari and a Porsche or something. Mm-hmm. You know, they're both up there, but you know, some will say this is there like that, you know. You know, but for us, then they're all good.
For good, so.
Yeah, they're way ahead of us. So. Means they can take a human form, like that. But it's, you know, it's like they can take a human form and do all the things like that. But when they want to relax, then they go back into, you know, it's like mermaids. They can walk around, but when they want to relax, they get in the bathtub. You know. That's the way it works. Right? You know, you're just most comfortable. You know, it's just like you can go to the office, wear your suit, do the whole things, everything very proper, but then you get home, you know, you just lay, you know, that's all. Yeah, you know, so that's yes.
And all these stories and conspiracy theories about Nagas and all that stuff, it's coming from Bhagavatam, just
yeah.
They bring their mental speculation.
Who knows what they do? So, you know, the devotees get it from the karmis. The devotees won't make these things up. The guys that are into it generally aren't that sharp. The karmis, there are karmis that this is all they do. They just think 40 in times. They think UFO magazine. I can't remember what's the third one. It was the one that's all the conspiracy theories is in. You know, it's, I can't remember it, but I should. It was always on my grandmother's coffee table. So she was totally one of those. Yeah. You know, UFO. I only remember the UFO magazine. Probably because there's more pictures, right? Yeah, and the other one, there's no pictures. Yes, it was boring. But it was there. It was there. I mentioned to Sahotramas, he knew the magazine.
Oh.
I said, you know, was this? Oh, it's this magazine. So he knew. I'm not sure. His last name was Crowley, if that means anything to you. You never heard of Aleister Crowley?
No.
Or Crowley? Like that? Crowley. I think it's a Scottish name. But he was in the West, the big occult guy, back 100 years ago. He was the guy. So he's from that lineage. I don't know if they're direct relatives or whatever. That's another thing. But I don't think they're very close. But it's just interesting. Okay. Okay, they all live as householders, the Daityas, Danavas, and Nagas. Their wives, children, friends, and society are all fully engaged in illusory material happiness. Right? Doesn't mean they're not following the Varnashram duties, but it's just totally they're an illusion, just all about material happiness, and this is what you can get from it. This is the benefit. Right? The sense enjoyment of the demigods is sometimes disturbed, but the residents of these planets enjoy life without disturbance, right? Why is it the demigods, sometimes their life is disturbed? Because they come up there. That's why. So the demigods aren't going down to their place, so they're good. They're peaceful. Thus, they are understood to be very attached to illusory happiness, right? Because even the demigods, sometimes there's things so they can think about it, how illusory the material world is. But they never get that. Nothing ever goes wrong. So then what happens? They never think about spiritual life. So that's why we see, even for the devotees, and Krishna arranges, that there's obstacles. So that we remember. Otherwise, if how we thought it would be like is like, you know, I'm following religion, so it must be like heaven, so everything will be perfect, nothing will ever go wrong, we'll never remember Krishna. Because otherwise, that kind of heaven is there. It's called the subterranean heavenly planets. The only problem is they don't remember Krishna, so you know, you could get stuck there for a while, and so one wants to avoid that.
But after a life there, you go back to the same situation.
Yeah, you come back here, and then now you're really frustrated because here there's really obstacles here. Mm-hmm. So you come from no obstacles to really obstacles. These heavenly planets, occasional obstacles to really obstacles. Mm-hmm. So it works a little better, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's nice to do there. You start from here?
You start from here. Everything starts from here. This, you could say, this is the station. This is the terminal. All other life forms in the whole on this planet in the universe, all are from here. The humans here, what they do determines where they go throughout the universe. It's all here. So wherever you go, you come back to here. You go down, you come back up to here. You go up, you come back to here. You go sideways, you come back to here. Right? So even, yes, Grand Central. Grand Central Terminal. Right. Yes, yeah. Yeah, so in that way, karma-wise, it's the center. Like that. You see, as far as movement, then Dhruva is loka is the center. You know, like that. So you just have different things depending on what you're doing. Srila Prabhupada comments. According to the statements of Prahlad Maharaj, material enjoyment is maya sukha, illusory enjoyment. A Vaishnava is full of anxieties for the deliverance of all living entities from such false enjoyment. Prahlad Maharaj says, maya sukhaya bharam udvahato vimudhan. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.9.43. These fools, vimudhas, are engaged in material happiness, which is surely temporary. Whether in the heavenly planets, the lower planets, or the earthly planets, people are engrossed in temporary material happiness, forgetting that in due course of time they have to change their age and disease. Oh, they have to change their bodies according to the material laws. They have to change their gross materialists. Or they have to change their real happiness. Yeah, even this is the problem with small print. Right? Okay, they have to change their bodies according to the material laws and suffer the repetition of birth, death, old age, and disease. Not caring what will happen in the next birth, gross materialists are simply busy enjoying during the present short span of life. A Vaishnava is always anxious to give all such bewildered materialists the real happiness of spiritual bliss. So we see is that the position of the planets is based on God consciousness. Because generally we take the lower planets are hellish regions. No, the hellish regions are lower than here, but they're not hellish regions. But they're considered unfavorably because they're not Krishna conscious. Does that make sense? That's the whole.
So when you come back here, it will be even more difficult.
You'll be more attached, and so that's why they get more into sinful. That's why if you're going up and you come down, you'll generally be more pious and then drop out. If you go to the lower heavenly planets and come back, you'll just become more sinful. So that means you're just taking yourself. In other words, the demigods would be the top, right? But then, you know, going up is that. But then coming down the other side will be the daityas, danavas, and nagas. Then it comes down to just, you know, then goes into the, you know, really sinful and animal species. And then you're coming out of it and then back up like that. You know what I'm saying? So you again have that point of top and bottom, you know, means you're going towards and going down. At the same time, you have side to side, means, you know, human on up and
demigod down to human, then below would be the animal. Same like we saw the sun.
Yeah,
you have two divisions of the Ayana. One is you know, sunrise, sunset, and the other is where light starts and where darkness happens. You know, so these... Strong and the weak. Oh, that's why sometimes he's full and he's super bright, and sometimes he's full and he's not so bright. Because we just had that. You know, there was a few of that. He's full but small and not so bright, and then other times he's really big and really shiny. Oh, really? So he moves up and down a bit. Oh, in and out. Oh, okay, because he comes this way. Yeah, so he's closer. Okay, so when he's closer, that will be called the... Those will be the stronger form. Because that would also just... Why it also seems to be a different size. Like, Gaur Purnima is huge. Mm-hmm. But other times, Purnima is really small.
The different places on the globe is also different.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes it's like really, really huge.
Yeah, no, I saw one picture. It's like it takes up, he takes up half the horizon when he comes out.
Yeah, it's scary, yeah.
Especially when he comes up and you see him lick his lips.
Yeah. I think I'm going back inside.
I can email Stuart.
Okay. A Vaishnava is always anxious to give all such bewildered materialists the real happiness of spiritual bliss. So we see is, what do we learn from all this? One is that it's all arranged by the Lord, it's controlled by the Lord, everybody's in their position according to what they've done following God's laws. The other thing is that it's following God's laws that gives facility or not, with the Lord's sanction, right? So with the non-devotees, you do the exact work, you get the exact, you know, you go into the shop, you don't know the guy. He has his price, you pay that price, you get the goods. You know the guy, and you're friendly, you may get it for something less.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So that's the way devotees are. They're favorable to the Lord, so then Lakshmi may give more. Does that make sense? But they just get exactly what they deserve by what work they've done. And that's all. But it's still according to God's laws. In other words, Krishna is still in control of everything. So the real point of the creation is how to elevate yourself. It's not about following the rules. That's the point, is that that's where then we get into Niyamagraha, where we think following the rules is the main thing. And those who are pro-Vedic, is, oh no, it's all about that. If you don't do that, then it's not devotional service. No, there's devotional service, then the most favorable system to situate yourself is the Varnashram. But devotional service is independent. So we see, does that make sense? So people are following devotionally, they're getting benefit. People are following non-devotionally, adults are getting benefit. But if you want to go back to Godhead, then you have to follow it with pure devotion. So that's what we're trying to do.
Sukadeva Goswami continued, "My dear King, in the imitation heavens known as Bilaswar, right? Because they just have good facilities, but they're not real heavenly. Because where's Vishnu? Where's service to Vishnu? Right? Where's the, you know, understanding and doing things according to the law of Vishnu? That's what makes it heavenly."
Are they more regulated than the demigods?
More regulated?
Because they seem they're more passionate. They want the result.
But then they'll probably sit back and enjoy more.
Yeah.
You know, so in other words, you know, how you say, what's that? Work hard, enjoy hard.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
work
that
hard,
kind
play
of.
Hard.
Huh?
Work hard, play hard.
Work hard, play hard. So that's them.
Okay.
You know, so it means all these mentalities aren't new. They've always been around. Just nowadays, now people nowadays figure them out. They come into the news and everyone, oh wow, cool. Like new, fresh. But you know, the Donovan's been doing that forever. Right? You know, like that. "My dear King, in the imitation heavens known as Bilaswarg, there's a great demon named Maya Donova, who is an expert artist and architect. He has constructed many brilliantly decorated cities. There are many wonderful houses, walls, gates, assembly houses, temples, yards, and temple compounds, as well as many hotels serving as residential quarters for foreigners." Right? So when he goes in and builds, he does the whole thing. Right? So, comes out good, right? The houses for the leaders of these planets are constructed with the most valuable jewels, and they are always crowded with living entities known as Nagas and Asuras, as well as many pigeons, parrots, and similar birds, right? Because you need the Nagas because they light the place up. So they're welcome everywhere. All seven, they are welcome. All in all, right, okay, pigeons, parrots, and similar birds. So in other words, all the nice kind of birds. You know, the pleasant and that kind of thing. All in all, these imitation heavenly cities are most beautifully situated and attractively decorated. The parks and gardens in the artificial heavens surpass in beauty those of the upper heavenly planets. The trees in those gardens, embraced by creepers, bend with the heavy weight of twigs with fruits and flowers. And therefore, they appear extraordinarily beautiful, right? So here's somebody's very pious, but non-devotional. So if they're supposed to end up as a tree, then there'll be a tree down there, right? They're so pious, but they'll be down there. But if they were the same thing and had more of a proper understanding, then they'd be in the heavenly planets. Does that make sense? Yeah. That beauty could attract anyone and make his mind fully blossom in the pleasure of sense gratification, right? So that's, it doesn't remind you of the Lord, it just reminds you of sense gratification. So that's why we're not interested. There are many lakes and reservoirs with clear, transparent water, agitated by jumping fish, and decorated with many flowers such as lilies, kuvalayas, kalharas, and blue and red lotuses. Pairs of chakravakas and many other water birds nest in the lakes and always enjoy in a happy mood, making sweet, pleasing vibrations that are very satisfying and conducive to enjoyment of the senses. Right? So now we're coming to this at this point. We can think, no, but we've moved along. You know, why are we coming up with this now? Wouldn't this have come along earlier? Because it's all about sense gratification. Point is earlier we'd be attracted.
Yes.
You understand? Because we've come across performing your duties, the results, devotional service gives all that, but it's about the devotional service and all that, so we're not interested in these things. Now we can explain this and we won't be attracted.
Yes.
Otherwise, it was earlier, we'd go, well, that sounds good.
Yeah. Still sounds pretty good.
Yeah, but it's just, you know, so we see is that, no, it's about, it's connection to Krishna that makes it special.
Yeah.
Everything's valuable because it's connection to Krishna. It's not connected, it is not valuable. Mm-hmm. That's the whole point to learn.
So then, is it risky to give people fixed cancer if they haven't gone through the first?
No, because all the explanations are there.
Okay.
Because we see the finity of pointing out devotional service is there. There's a few verses here. It's not that many verses. Of course, we put the handful of verses together. Generally, no one remembers Shishumara because it's held together by ropes of that. No. That, you know, that there's this and there's some talas and that they kind of remember. You know, the hellish planets, that they remember. Like that, you know, and there's some people that are offering prayers to the Lord, but they're on the heavenly planets, but they're actually on Jambudweep, so we don't quite catch what was going on here. You know what I'm saying? You know, so we don't pay that much attention. So you take all those technical geographic ones put together, it's not actually that many. Most is all on the principle of the devotional service and the fine point between pure devotion and mixed.
But Prabhupada did warn with the tenth cancer, that's only that one, or
well, that's why he gave Krishna books. So he gave us tenth canto.
Yeah, yeah.
But it has all the philosophy of the other nine worked in such a way that when he goes into philosophy, it doesn't break the flavor flow of the story. That's literary excellence.
Yeah, that's
good. Right? That's poetic.
Yeah, yeah.
You know. So that's something really special if Prabhupada could do that. You know, and then if we want to study it on its own, then we go through here. But the point is you're giving something to the karmis, then it doesn't matter. Whatever book's available, that's what you're selling.
Yeah.
Then, you know, along with that, some small books, okay, then they get more of a, you know, because they'll probably start with the smaller one before the big one. You know, but like that, then they'll get benefit. It's like Prabhupada said, the sugar, no matter where you start, it's sweet. But, you know, point is you start somewhere, then you come back and go. Like Kunti Devi, she saw Krishna from the waist, went up to his head, then went back to his feet, then back up to the waist.
Yes.
Canto 5 is supposed to be the way. Never.
Not sure which it is. 1 and 2 are the feet. I think it's a little, maybe a little higher. 1, 2 of the feet, so then you get the calves, knees, thighs. It'll be getting close. So whether it's the thighs or that, or if the waist is 6, I don't know. We'd have to look at that verse.
Okay. Since there's no sunshine in those subterranean planets, time is not divided into days and nights. And consequently, fear produced by time does not exist. Because, you know, each day goes by, then you know something's happened. But if there's no day going by, you know, then you don't notice.
Yes. There's no sun, no moon, no.
Yeah, no, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so they don't notice time. That's why time is actually for, means time comes to them as death. But otherwise, and for us, then time is there to remind us about Krishna and how he's arranging everything. There, they don't care. They just, the facilities is there, they enjoy it. And then when Sudarshan comes, then that's kind of, that's time. Yeah. Yeah. That's why they don't really like time.
Because they don't speak about time.
Yeah, probably not. You know. Probably one of those things you don't bring up at dinner. You know, it's just not a conversation piece. Yes. Yes, but we use Vishvakarma. We don't use Maya Dhanava. We use that because it's Vastu is there. Vastu is here on the earth. When from there, they look at him from down, so they see his face. Well, the heavenly planets, they look down, they see his back. So ours is designed that way. Because otherwise the positions are there, but they become reversed and people become confused. That's why sometimes they see, well, this Vastu book says it's here and the other one says it's exact opposite. Because they're talking about exactly the same thing. They're just looking at it from, like if I'm over there and I say that chair, it's on the left. Right? If I'm standing there, I'll say it's on the right. Oh, this is contradictory. No. That's why we have this, that the shastras are never contradictory. It's where you're standing. Where's the perspective?
You think we're objective.
We think we're objective. We're the center, so therefore, no. But it's that's why then, and there, it'll be more about how to get the maximum sense gratification and facility. So Maya, that will be Maya's arrangement. Not that it's not according to Shastra and all that. That will just be his interpretation, because you can use it for other things also. Yes, that's why he's engaged in the Lord's service. So he's engaged, because it was Arjuna didn't want anything. So then he approached Krishna. Can he do something for his devotee? You know, and I mean, no, Arjuna said, you can't do anything for me, but you can do something for Krishna. If you make him happy, then that will make me happy. So then Krishna said, okay, you build a city for Yudhishthira. Right? Because they're out in the middle of nowhere anyway, so might as well make something nice. Right? Make Duryodhana even more envious. Right? Like that. Yes?
Sure, Siddhartha was also spoken to Maya Dhanava. And then at the end, he small around the universe, calling the herd.
Yeah, so he's a prominent person. It's not that he doesn't know his stuff. Like, let's say you want to put a pool in your backyard. You bring in people that know how to put in a pool. Now, they may not be devotees, but they know that. So when it comes to architecture, he knows this. It's just that what you're saying, the science of architecture is one thing, but your interpretation on whether it's more Daiva or Asuric, that will be the difference between the two. But technically, there's not really any difference. Does that make sense?
Okay. Is the principal difference whether it's the Krishna or whether it's the
room? Yes, that's the main difference. In other words, if a room could be used, that this would be the best for studying scriptures, but it would also be the best for, you know, enjoying with your family, Maya would pick it as a family room, Vishwakarma would pick it as a place for study. That would be the difference. But otherwise, it is good for this group of activities. Does that make sense? You know, so it's like that. Many great serpents reside there with gems on their hoods, and the effulgence of these gems dissipates the darkness in all directions. Since the residents of these planets drink and bathe in juices and elixirs made from wonderful herbs, they are free from all anxieties and physical diseases. They have no experience of gray hair, wrinkles, or invalidity. Their bodily lusters do not fade, their perspiration does not cause a bad smell, and they are not troubled by fatigue or by lack of energy or enthusiasm due to old age. So they just, you know, whatever is the troubles we have, they just don't have them, right? Whatever it is, Rexana would not do well there. Right? You know, they would go out of places. Yeah. They live very auspiciously and do not fear death from anything but death's established time. Right? So they don't, it means all the time, there's nothing there to bother them. But when death comes, then that's the moment. They get worried about death at the moment that death comes. Like that. Which is the effulgence of Sudarshan Chakra of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In his purport to verse 14, Srila Prabhupada eloquently reminds us, I was thinking, wow, that's a fancy name, why we want to avoid such lovely sounding place. This is the defect of material existence. Everything in the subterranean heavens is very nicely arranged. They are well situated residential quarters. There is a pleasing atmosphere, and there are no bodily inconveniences or mental anxieties. But nevertheless, those who live there have to take another birth according to karma. So that's the problem. You live there, you still have to take birth. You take up devotional service, no birth. Plus, it's way better in the spiritual world. But persons whose minds are dull cannot understand this defect of a materialistic civilization, aiming at material comforts. One may make his living conditions very pleasing for the senses, but despite all favorable conditions, one must in due course of time meet death. The members of a demoniac civilization endeavor to make their living conditions very comfortable, but they cannot check death, right? So if you are making your living comfortable, that's fine, but as long as you're also working on the problem of death. So that means yes. The grihastha is working on both, yes. Right? The other is then it's just so it's not uncomfortable, right? It's just simple, right? Like that. The influence of the Sudarshan Chakra will not allow their so-called material happiness to endure. So time will come in the form of death. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, when the Sudarshan disc enters those provinces, the pregnant wives of the demons all have miscarriages due to fear of its effulgence. Right? Because it means they would be working on the same kind of principle, right? When are the demons' wives pregnant? Last year of life. So that means death can come any time. So technically, if they're pregnant, they wouldn't be dying. After they give birth to their child, that's when they'll be dying. But still, it reminds them.
They have a miscarriage and then they die.
Yeah, they're going to die anyway. So it's just.
But many places, time is related.
Yes. No, he is time. He is time. That's why he's eternal time. So he's Krishna's associate, his intimate associate, like that. So depending on what level you're working on, then it manifests in so many different ways. But point is how do you have, means Krishna, it's about his pastimes. How do you have pastimes without technically time? Right? There must be movement. So in the spiritual world, it's not governed by, controlled by time. Time serves Krishna's desire. Yeah. Therefore, nothing's controlled by time. There's a concept of time. So therefore, there's movement and everything. But here, we're controlled by time. Like that. So Krishna runs the universe by time. Mm-hmm. So that's why in his glance are the jivas, time, and ego. Right? So there must be ignorance. So ignorance and jivas are there because no one else is going to think this is a great place. Right? And then there has to be ignorance so that you do think it's a great place, right? And then there has to be time so you can do things to try to make it a better great place.
And so you can destroy
it? Time has that effect. It goes around in a circle. So if there's a start, there's an end. Yeah. Okay, stop it.
Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki Jai Nitai Gaura ki.